Short sermons. This is short sermon number 3, and as we've introduced the first two short sermons, they are intended not to make a complete case on any scriptural matter, but merely to make a point. Each one is presented with the hope that grace will be served and ministered to the readers for edification, and that God would open the hearts of the listeners to the truth of the scriptures, which are the testimony of Jesus Christ our Lord, who yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews 13:8, is full of grace and truth, according to John 1:14. Short sermon number 3, two inclusive deaths. Deaths, D-E-A-T-H-S. There are two deaths in all of human history that we could call inclusive deaths. One, the death of the first man, Adam, that he died in the day of his disobedient partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Genesis 2:17. That death was inclusive of all humankind, for as the Holy Scripture unequivocally announces, in Adam all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22 A. And again, death passed upon all men, for all sinned, in Romans 5:12. Secondly, the second death that is also called inclusive death, the death of Jesus Christ, the last Adam, the death as a result of his obedience, not disobedience, the death that he endured while hanging on the cursed tree, was inclusive of all human beings, for when this one died for all died. 2 Corinthians 5:14. And those who died with Christ will live with him, 2 Timothy 2:11. For again, as the binding and unbroken Holy Scripture states decisively and with finality, in Christ all will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22 again, only the B part. This is the Lord's death, the death that we proclaim whenever we partake of the Eucharist. When the church exists and lives for itself, it stands in shame before its Lord and owes the world an apology. To live in Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ living in us, is to live in the one who loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, and by so doing gave himself to endure the consequences of their sins, to take away the sin of the world. For Christ is in the Father, and the Father, our Father, is in him. And we are in Jesus and in the Father. John 14:20-21. That day has come. We died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. It's impossible to be in the Father without being in the Son, and impossible to be in the Son without being in the Father. Moreover, to live with Christ as our life, Colossians 3:4 and Philippians 1:19-21, is to live in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, of him who gave himself for us to redeem us all, and who is raised from the dead and ever alive with a life-giving life forever. Revelation 1:17-18. For by virtue of his resurrection from the dead, and by the power of God, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The church must no longer bear the image of the first man, who was merely a living soul, but that of the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. We are not life givers. Only Jesus Christ is that. Jesus, who is very God and very man, says, I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish. John 10:28. We can and must bear the image of the last Adam, who is Christ, the image of God, in 2 Corinthians 4:4. As such, we can and must hold forth the word of life, Philippians 2:16, which is the word of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5:19 B. We are not life givers, but we are to bear the image of the life-giving last Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15:49, though we are not the life givers, we can, by God's grace, turn others from potentially deadly error and save their souls from death, says James 5:20, which is in part what the writer of Hebrews is doing and in fact has done and did do in his time. The church ought to say, in effect, to the world and indeed to others of the called community with Paul, death works in us, but life in you. But sadly, and incidentally that's 2 Corinthians 4:10, sadly, however, the unsaid motto of the church is too often more like life works in us while death works in you. The world cannot, indeed must not, take such a church seriously. For the church is to be taken seriously as an edifice being built by Jesus Christ that edifies. The church that would be taken seriously by the world is the edifice being built by Jesus Christ, and that edifice must be a Belvedere, which is a structure that commands a beautiful view, namely the view of Jesus Christ in his beautifully, universally saving significance. When the church ceases to be or to provide such a view, it's a house that has abandoned its original purpose. It ceases to be obedient to the one word of God, which must be heard, trusted, and obeyed. The church, which consists of those who are Christians, does not have to await its instructions. It has them. Go into all the world and re-announce its reconciliation, which Jesus announced and continues to pronounce with the word tetelestai, mashalem, peace has been made. When the church makes that proclamation, Jesus Christ is actually proclaiming that proclamation in the church, with the church, by the church. Jesus is our peace, says Ephesians 2:14. He himself comprises that peace, is that peace, the peace between God and the world, where once there was and indeed still is unrequited love and enmity from the world. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more will we be saved by his life? That's Romans 5:1 and 5:10 in the CEB edition of the Bible, Common English Bible. Saved by his life is a tribute to the resurrected Lord in the time in between the two great alterations, the alteration of the human situation before God by reconciliation and the alteration of the human condition before God by resurrection. And so his life refers to his coming to us in the second coming again in the power of his resurrection, a power in which we keep being saved, a power by which we keep proclaiming him as the reconciliation, the propitiation of the sins of the world, the Lamb who took away the sin of the world, the Messiah who appeared in the event of all the ages to put away sin by his self-sacrifice, to become, as the judged in our behalf and in our place for us. And so ends short sermon number three.